please.
Karen Ward, here.
Kathy Aiken, present.
Steve Martinez, present.
Greg Jones, present.
Kim Olick's present as mayor. Thank you very much. And let's do the Pledge of Allegiance. And Henry, would you lead us in the pledge, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. I have a couple of added agenda items. Can everybody hear me? How about now?
Yeah.
Okay. We have a couple of added agenda items this evening. Resolution number 2014-10, a resolution amending resolution number 2014-07, adopting the budget. And resolution number 2014-11, a resolution certifying certain unpaid sewage service charges to the Deschutes County Tax Assessor for assessment against the premises service. Are we going to vote on
both of them
individually?
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, the resolutions.
Okay.
Just start with the first one, which is 2014-10.
Okay.
On that particular resolution, what happened when we sent the LB50 into the clerk's office or the assessor's office, and on the back. The back should be page 2. We put $1.98, which is our rate, or the total amount of that we'll collect from taxes. And they said you don't want both; you need to remove the amount. And so we just have our rate. So that's what it is. So if you'll notice on the back page, it says at the rate of $1.98 per thousand assessed value. All the numbers, the budget, it's all the same. It's just simply that. And the clerk said you should probably go ahead and change that. So that's what that is.
Okay. Is there any discussion, Council? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve Resolution 2014-10, a resolution amending Resolution 2014-07?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? It's unanimous. We approved. Okay. Resolution 2014-11.
Actually, Ashley can answer that. That's the liens on our sewer, on unpaid people that don't pay their bills.
It's the same as the resolution you adopted last meeting, except I also had a typo and tried to put this on last year's tax rolls. So the assessor got that and said, hey, you're going to have to readopt this.
Okay. Is there any discussion?
You understand, so you can turn water off, but you can't turn a sewer off. And then so many people have wells, what they do is they let the water get disconnected, they keep using their wells, and then their sewer bill just keeps growing, and they don't care because there's no way to shut it off particularly. So this allows us then to annually go and collect that.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve Resolution 2014-11?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? It's approved unanimously. Item number 4 is ordinance number 2014-06. An ordinance making certain determinations and findings relating to and approving the Lapine Urban Renewal Plan. And before we start discussion, I'd like to read a letter that the council has received to the Lapine City Council. Lapine Economic Development Board, chartered in March 2013 to advise you, the council, on economic matters, asked for your vote in the affirmative regarding the proposal before the council scheduled for Wednesday, July 23, 2014, to authorize creation of Oregon's newest urban renewal district for Lapine. Economic progress is of vital importance to our community. to help improve the quality of life, available amenities to help reduce poverty, and to help ensure the livability of our community for ourselves and our children. Lapine has begun to carve a path to improve the business climate and make this a better place to open a business and engage in 21st century opportunities. Urban renewal is a vital tool and an investment in the future to make this real. Like you, we value and appreciate our parks, library, fire department, and related agency services. With the goodwill, hard work, and constructive efforts of leaders in the public and private sector, we will succeed, and in time, the economic growth created will equal and exceed the tax offset earmarked for urban renewal projects, so agency concerns then become a moot point. The vote regarding urban renewal will be impactful, whether for or against. It will be viewed as a message and a signal to current area residents and building businesses, and more significantly, to out-of-the-area businesses considering locating or expanding in our community, now or in the future. Therefore, your vote is important, perhaps the most important you'll make this term. A yes vote signals that community leadership is ready, willing and able to move forward and embrace opportunity. It sends a message of determination to make Lapine a better place to live and work. A no vote communicates that this community is unwilling to help themselves, so why should any new business invest in such a place? A no vote will handicap our economic development and business recruitment efforts in the foreseeable future. For these reasons, we ask in the strongest possible terms for your yes vote on urban renewal. Thank you, Vic Russell, Chairman, Lapine Economic Development Board. Signed by a LED board majority from page 2.
Okay. Any discussion?
Well, Mr. Mayor, this will be the time then for the council to discuss. We had the public hearing, so the public came up, and so it's your time if you have questions of staff and to debate and talk amongst yourself and to get comfortable with it. The only other thing, we did get I sent you an email, the Lapine or the Deschutes County Library actually voted to support urban renewal, which we didn't ask them to do, and that was surprising, but they did that. And then you attended did you go to the Ben Lapine School District?
Yes, I did.
Board meeting, and this was on their agenda also.
And this was on their agenda, and they favorably commented to it.
And another thing I handed out to you, 4.4 things just to help you, because you know these documents are big and thick and there's lots to them and there's lots of numbers. And if you want to look, the first one is the proposed types of projects to be completed. That has kind of by the categories that the plan, plans to do. Obviously, again, all of these are subject to change. Who's going to be elected 25 years from now or 20 years from now? We can't set that agenda. So it's a best guess of what people thought when they put it together. But that gives you an idea of kind of the categories of projects without looking through the many, many pages. Second document, if you want to look, it's got kind of the timeline and the participants. Shows you, I don't know, there's 30 people that have been involved at one point or another. These are from formal committees, commissions, planning commissions, council, and the advisory committee, and then the consulting team. And the back shows then our new urban renewal agency, plus then all the meetings that have been held, including to tonight. So you can see that rundown of all the different meetings that have been held. This one here, a snapshot of urban renewal. Corey dug this out. We went and got all the urban renewal districts in Central Oregon and put them on a graph and shows you the smallest one was Culver, 6.69 million, up to downtown Redmond, which is about 120 million. And interestingly, if you look at that, the size of the cities, it correlates up. Culver's a little smaller than us, then we're the next smallest city, then Sisters, Matters, and it just works its way up, basically, as population would, with the exception of Redmond. That's a bold one that Redmond has. And then in the back, you'll just notice, and there's like 100 plus cities that have urban renewal, but on the back, just gives you a list of some of the towns. Some are smaller, Yahats only has 780 people, and and they've got a $7.8 million one, $11 million in Garibaldi, so quite a few coastal towns. Anyway, that's just, they were picked out of the list. We didn't do the big cities so much. And then the last is called the percentage impacts of permanent rate levy. That's just taking the ones, it's hard to find a lot of this information, because you know, it's all over the place, and it's no cities and districts keep it all, you know, it's like everything, and over time everyone does it differently. And this is just showing the effect of on the various jurisdictions of Redmond, Lapine, and Sisters, and kind of the impacts on the various jurisdictions, whether it's fire, city, park, schools. We did, obviously, Ben has two or three of these, so we skipped them. So those are just things that you can use for reference points or for your own personal. We actually had a meeting at the library, and that was handed out there, and three of the five fire board members were there, and all these documents were given at that time prior to our hearing 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
So nothing new in those documents.
Okay.
I guess the, pardon me, the majority of people I've talked to or that approach me, although there may be some unanswered questions and no guarantees, basically it's been supported. I think, for me, I'm thinking that I realize there's some concerns, but I feel that we need to continue on this line, and we just need to pursue it. That's basically, if we want to see Lapine grow and prosper, I think that's what we're going to need to do. That's my feeling at this point.
Okay. Karen, did you have anything you wanted to?
Well, I've done a lot of thought about it, and I feel like for us to move forward and to make the town a better place, we need to go with this. I'm sorry that they're going to lose some money. I don't know what else to say. I value what you give us. We need what you give us, but we also need the town to grow and to get better. And the only way I can see that happening is by going with urban renewal.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot has been said, you know, about the different districts that will be losing funds. This latest paper before me shows some pretty astounding numbers, you know, for what our people will be losing. Sisters, for instance, in the rural fire district, theirs was 1.69%. Ours is 0.31. So a lot of the, you know, scare tactics, I felt, were used to sway a lot of people in town. I don't find founded in the numbers that I've seen. The people I've spoken with feel the same way, you know, that we'd be missing the boat if we don't move forward with urban renewal, even though, like Kathy and Karen both said, you know, there are going to be some cuts, but they're not going to be dramatic enough to warrant not voting yes for it. It's a move we have to make if we want to see our town prosper, grow, and thrive like we hope it to. And I don't have any questions yet, but I might before we get done with this discussion.
Yeah.
Well, Red Button.
Yes.
Not that I'll go that long. You know, I think traveling throughout Central Oregon this last week and a half, this is Lapine's a hot topic right now. And because everybody knows what's going on here. Urban renewal in Lapine. Bend is talking about it. Prineville's talking about it. Culver's talking about it. And they're all looking at Lapine, actually waiting for us to take that step. That's what I've heard in the last week. Here at home in Lapine, I'm hearing both. You know, I had one gentleman come up and say, I thought you were more conservative than that. And he hasn't seen me at a Beaver football game. But seriously, you know, I understand all the concerns with everybody, the different districts and the citizens. But I feel that if we don't move forward, we're just stifling our own growth and our own chance for further development. You know, the COCC said it pretty well in their letter that if urban renewal in Lapine creates jobs or attracts even residents, that it offsets what they will lose. And I believe that. And I think other districts should look that way, that if even the city, I mean, we're going to be losing the biggest chunk. You know, and I think if we temper ourselves with, you know, caution on how this money is applied to the proper projects, then we'll be able to offer more services, improve the services that we currently have by working in partnership. And that's one of the biggest things that 10 years ago was lacking in this community, was a willingness of different government entities working together and different organizations working together. And that's come together since this city incorporated 7 years ago. You know, you can just look at the town, the different events that are going on. And I believe everybody is wanting to support each other. And I think this town can prosper by supporting each other. We've done it in the past, and we'll continue to do it. You know, and I'm willing to offer my services in any way possible. But I think for the community and the outlying areas that we need to pursue this opportunity, or else it won't happen. If you go around the state and look at other communities that don't have urban renewal right now, they're suffering big time. They really are. You drive through some of the communities to the south. I don't want to mention them by name because I don't want to offend them, but they're dead. Their commercial has evaporated. You know, their residences, they're moving out. They're going to other places. And I don't believe anybody wants to see that happen here in Lapine. I, for one, don't. And I'm willing to put my vote behind it to help it. Thank you.
Okay. I think for me, I really enjoyed the massiveness of the approach that was used in this whole effort. You stop and think about all of the people that had been involved, all of the organizations that came to the table. I do have a disappointment that the one organization didn't come to the table at the very beginning, where we could have all had dialogue. But I am pleased and excited about all of the other organizations that came to the table that have spoke up and feel that the whole idea around what this will bring the economic development, the growth. You know, when we incorporated, we talked about economic development, family wage jobs, respect for our seniors, and that small town feel. I think it's important to know that if that's what we talked about when we incorporated, this is a logical step, because it is the governmental sanctioned rules that allow cities who have no other method, no other feasible method, to bring money in so that they can actually do something with their town, clean the dustiness and the rundown appearance. I think it is a great opportunity to speak back to why we incorporated by doing this. I honestly believe that this is the most important thing we will do as a council, as a city itself, moving forward in the next number of decades. And I have heard continuously, I sat on several boards throughout the Central Oregon where cities all have urban renewal, and they have spoke continually. It is, as Councilor Martinez said, it's being discussed all over Central Oregon, because all of the other cities and organizations, or city organization, have urban renewal, short of Prineville, who is exploring it now. And they've talked about the growth, what it has brought to those cities, and it's right here on this list that the city manager passed out. And I'm convinced that the same thing will happen right here in Lapine. We want it to, we expect it to, and I believe that's what will happen. And I have nothing but good reports or good input from those that I talk to, even right here in the city, that this is the thing they want done. So that's why I think this is the right thing for the city council to do. Anything else? Okay. Having heard the council discuss it, is there a motion to approve ordinance number 2014-06, an ordinance making certain determinations and findings relating to and approving the Lapine Urban Renewal Plan?
I so move.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Roll call vote.
On a roll call vote?
Karen Ward, yes.
Kathy Agin, yes.
Stu Martinez, yes.
Greg Jones, yes.
Let the record reflect the unanimous vote for approval of resolution 2014-06.
Ordinance
2014-06. Thank you very much. At this time, we'll have public comment. Did we have anybody sign the public comment ledger?
No.
Okay. Is there any public comment? Hearing none, I will move to staff comments.
Well, you got the email that our Summer is leaving, our finance manager, she's been on a contract part-time anyway. That's, you know, what it was. But anyway, she took a job at City of Hood River. So she'll be leaving, but not for a couple months, 6 weeks. She'll be able to work with us, and Hood River knows that. She's only going to work a couple days a week for them for a while. And so we will be putting out an announcement for part-time 10 to 20, 24 hours a week job, include city reporters duties possibly, depending on the person. But we definitely want to get the right person, because municipal finance is so complicated. And that, you know, definitely she did a great job getting us up to par. And she'll be here through the auditors are coming actually in September. And so she'll be here for that. And that'll help a lot. we're getting everything ready for that. Been meeting with ODOT on this First Street project, and they came back again the other day with 5-foot sidewalks after all that we've been through. But Corey was right there, and we explained it differently. And so I talked to Bob Bryant yesterday and about the desires of an 8-foot sidewalk and need for that. And he seemed to agree. And Scott said that within 24 hours, they were out resurveying.
Yeah, it moved them right along.
So I think we'll be back to an 8-foot sidewalk. So that's good. The project out here, you can see, is pretty done, looks good. We're waiting for the lights from Midstate to put up. And I'm not sure when they'll be here, but they're coming. It was the lights themselves, I believe, the poles are the lights. And so when they get here, the crews at Midstate will put those up. Over at Huntington Meadows, the lights are up. One isn't working, but I did talk to Tom Weller today. They're going to go check that out, see if it's a bollard or whatever. I do think we need to put some bollards around those, or we will have
be spending more money. I went out and looked.
Yeah, people will cut the corner. And take those out. So Scott, that's probably something that we should do, don't you think? On the right hand corner, there are fiberglass pole and you can just see it.
Yeah.
And in the future, I think we just put those when you put that kind of a light, you just do it with the project, and therefore you don't have to worry about wires yet or anything else, because they will take those right down. You know, these ones here, they're clear back. If you're hitting these ones, then you've got lots of problems. Because you jumped the curb, went through the bio swale, across the sidewalk, knocked over two trees to get to our light. So I think if you get there, we've got issues. And the county will be moving their planning department in upstairs, I think, in a week and a half. They got the IT stuff all done. The building department will be here. So for those who don't know, the county building department will be in the city hall on by moving out of the county building, so it's seamless where people can come in for one-stop shopping, and that's going to be good. We have been out working on a lot of code enforcement, trying to clean things up and get rid of blight all around that we can. And I've sent you some pictures of some. So we've got 3 or 4 more letters out right now to property owners, and Scott's going to serve one.
Did you get
that? I did. You did. It came back to us, I don't know, rejected or wrong, no, nothing. But it's the address post office had. And you can see we just chased some of the folks around. Mm-hmm. So, but eventually, they will move on to other places, much like the woodcarver, if you keep kind of at them. Let's see. All that comes to mind right now.
How about Huntington from the post office south, the pathways there?
That's Vic Russell. I mean, he's got a contract to do that and get that done. He's going to obviously be late on that because I think he's got too many projects. It's supposed to be done actually August 1st, but he's not started. So I don't know what they're doing. I when they did that, I didn't think it would be done then, so I would assume it'll be between now and Labor Day. This one here, they got cleaned up today. They came and put in some patches and stuff, and the county is going to go ahead and do the drain problems on Huntington there. We signed an agreement with them on that, and they're going to put in a bunch of good drains where the floods on Huntington right there. What's the street for?
Third
Street. Yeah, right out in front of Little Deed Apple area. And then they're gonna have it's an 18, what size pipe?
18
inch pipe that will go out to the wetland, and they'll put storm drains along there. There's several of them, and that will drain off, so we should be done with that issue. They're funding the vast majority of that. We may put in a little bit.
Will that also help in front of Prairie House?
No, that's a different discussion. So,
just that you bring up Prairie House. One time I talked to George Cullen about the Prairie House and putting a crosswalk there. And the answer was, well, there's no sidewalk on the other side, and so we can't go from a curb to where there's nothing but gravel. But yet, right on the corner at the end of Morrison, coming from the school side of First Street, coming right across that corner at an angle, is a big, beautiful crosswalk, and it comes right up to the gravel and dirt. And I can just tell you that every time I go to the vet breakfast over there, I get asked, how come we can't get a crosswalk? Because this is a racetrack coming from 97 going to First Street. So, I mean,
the it's a county road, so we can't put it up. But you know, that's one disadvantage. That's one disadvantage of having a lot of county roads in your city. You're not control of them. You know, we did budget money to do some lighting down there and look at some sidewalk things. So I think once we get lights up on some of the ones we've already done, now that we've got Huntington Meadows, I think we can go look at some of that. You know, you got to engineer them all. That's one thing we're discovering. This idea is just about poor stuff. We just, you know, can't do it, because especially there, we're going to have to get the county to sign off on it. You know, and dollars just creep up on you on all of that kind of stuff. But we had budget some money there for, you know, because you're going to have to make the ADA ramp when you do the curb, you do the sidewalk. And then when you put in a sidewalk and a curb, then what have you created? Drainage. Because there's nowhere for water to go. It can't go off into the gravel anymore. And so then you have to pipe that somewhere. And it's that trickle-down effect of once you start doing something. And so it's hard to have a small project. That's really the problem. This is 210,
yeah.
The one that we're just talking about at 3rd Street. That's $210,000. That's no sidewalks. That's just they have to redo the two corners to make them ADA, because you cannot redo one without it. And just put in the gutters and run the pipe and make that clean outs and flush outs and separators and all those things.
Okay.
So, you know, and right now we have to, we're of course putting money toward First Street, because that will come starting next summer. We have to move a couple of pipes. We might have to move
four fire hydrants, and then just adjusting us some valve cans and cleanouts.
Yeah. So, you know, that we've got to do all that, and then we'll start into the Wikia project, and we have to start moving some utilities out there, and then at the same time, the rest of the sidewalks from here to First Street.
Now that's, those sidewalks are due in what, 16?
Yeah, they'll start planning them though, of course.
In the fall.
In 15. You won't build them actually till, it just depends, 16, could be 17, but we're halfway to 15 now, so.
And from what I get out of COAC, Central Oregon Area Commission on Transportation, there's a lot of talk about the money that's allocated for that stuff may not be there totally. And there may be some slippage across the state of pre-planned ODOT projects.
Well, you could see some slippage, which means delay. Until they figure out transportation funding. And I talked to Senator Canope today, and you know, it was about transportation funding. And interesting, talk about the poor fire department's going to flip a gourd. There's this whole Trip 97 proposal that would create a Jefferson Deschutes urban renewal that would run basically from Madras to Lapine that would go into the highway. And it's just, it's you know, and Tim told me, you know, that would be just very difficult. I think ODOT, some of these people are thinking, well, maybe some of those projects that can help fund some of that. I don't see it happening. The legislature would have to approve it. So there's a lot of issues ahead, and we've talked about the people. Of course, you know, they're driving less, and they're driving fuel-efficient cars, and you're gonna go eventually to a odometer-based mileage-driven system. Yeah, that's where it's headed. And there's going to be a lot of, you know, people not liking it. But if the gas, the federal gas tax, you saw they're broke and they just bailed themselves out with a kind of...
Borrowed it from Social Security, didn't it?
Smoke and mirrors. But bottom line is that hasn't, gas tax hasn't raised since 1990, I think. There's no way you can take $1,990 and go out here and try to pave roads. And a lot of these projects, indirectly, their money's coming from the Fed. So when you see the federal highway funds are broke, that's really what's paying for WikiUp and all of it.
Right.
It's the Feds giving money to the state funds the project. So don't act like you're disconnected to that federal discussion. You are. And as they're going broke, then that's putting ODOT broke. So, and then ODOT also, during the stimulus years, you know, they did a couple packages. Well, they go and they borrow 10 or 20 years into the future. So then you're making payments on that. So now, I don't know what percent, but there's a percent of the fuel tax every year now that's paying debt on the projects that were built 5-6 years ago. So it's a mess. So I could see slippage, definitely, delays. But it'll be good when that goodness gets there. I think First Street will happen. I for sure that's on schedule. But I could see some maybe with the
further down the road.
This sidewalk project. Mm-hmm.
Yep, I heard that the STIP program was completely money, and that was the one that was supposed to repave highway from just south of Sun River on through to the Highway 31. But the other day I was on my way to Bend, and they're supposed to start paving tomorrow, I think. There were signs up saying they would be paving that area just south of the Sun River on ramp, the Cloverleaf thing there. Is that part of the STIP project?
I don't know if this is a STIP project, it's more maintenance.
No, there's several pieces of money. One is maintenance, and then there's expansion, and then there's STIP. But they're already talking about the STIP plan because of the flow of monies. Like, we've got one up until 18 right now. So the one that starts in 15 to address 17, 18, and 19 is already being talked about slipping. They're just going to delay implementing that. So yeah. But I think this one up there is only from the top of Lava Butte down to Sun River.
The new pavement.
Yeah,
no, that's all new.
You're They've got right. signs up there saying...
Well, I thought it was south of the on-ramp, or the turnoff to the river. But the ones that I saw the other day, they were the mobile lighted signs. And they said they would be paving in that area. But I was just wondering if that was part of the thing. When we went to that STIP meeting, when they had their open house, they were proud to tell us about the Sun River turnoff to Highway 31, repaving all of that in a two-year program.
They are going to pay. It will get done, but at what point in the next 3 years? All of it. The other thing I just discovered in talking with another day at the meeting was they actually, I did not realize it. That's the thing. It's not just paving. With the rules and regulations, everything's so tough anymore. They actually have to then go make the sidewalks compliant with a paving job. You would think you could just go repave the road to fix the road. Well, that triggers
sidewalk.
So on this side of the road, they're going to have, there's some places that they have now. It doesn't have to be an 8-foot sidewalk in the way we're doing this side, but they do actually have to go repair some sidewalks and put in some ADA ramps and things. So it's naive as I go. It's not just paving the road. That's why we say no projects are small anymore.
Anything, Council? Anything else?
Just one question, Rick. The handout, which were our proposed types of projects, is this in a order based on what the committee felt was most important, and are they just is this just a list of things that are proposed to do?
That the list is in order. They're just categories. Okay. They're not prioritized. they prioritize those categories and then tried to list the types of projects that, that they could be with some of the things that they talked about. But there are not, there is no priority. They did not prioritize.
So okay.
Those are categories.
Okay, thank you.
So if you see the first one, whatever was the solution, that doesn't mean that that was necessarily first.
Yes. That was a significant amount of money going to the assistant, to assist in the redevelopment of public facilities that provide vital services, fire stations, and building facilities. So then that was at the top of their list, so I just wondered if that was a
hopeful
thing, because that's interesting to know, too.
We purposely put that in. We wanted a good significant part of the committee and the group did it for public facilities. Obviously, part of it could be the rodeo grounds, but I don't know if that's an issue anymore. But the, you know, you've got down in that area, you've got obviously medical facilities, you've got the fire station, you've got the parks district, you've got the library. That's kind of your hub of your government buildings. And Urban Renewal often spends money on those kinds of facilities. And I was just looking last night, and I was, and Elaine knows a lot of these, but I seen Clackamas County, they built in one, these are huge urban, they built two fire stations in one urban renewal district, and another one remodeled one built a training facility. There's all kinds of examples, and it's contemplated that we ultimately would have money available for the fire district to soften that blow, you know, and although since they didn't participate, we didn't know what their needs were. But, so it's, there's just a total there for public facilities. And over time, we would be able to work with any of those districts on things that would benefit the downtown and the community down there. So, but of course, and remember, this is a long, one thing about urban renewal, it's a long process. Elaine and I were talking about upstairs, you know, it's unusual, you know, we all like to think 2 or 3 or 4 years, and 5 years is a long time, but, you know, when you start getting into 10, 15, and 20, and 25-year stuff, it's really beyond almost our ability to, who knows what we will be going on at that point, if you think back 25 years, you know, how many people will live here, and how we're made up, and heavens, you know.
Who'll be around?
Who'll be around to do them? But there, these other districts that were created in the 70s, you know, they did their thing.
Could you, I know an email went out to the council, but maybe some of the folks would like to know an update on our famous lot over here.
Oh, the?
Yes.
Are you talking the homestead?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's one of the Homestead Tavern to get bought, I should say, it was foreclosed. A bank has it, and it's a smaller bank. And so I called and talked to them, and then by chance, Stu happened to come by, but we went over, and the vice president of the bank happened to be there. They were inside looking at it, picking stuff up. And I sent him names of landscapers and painters, Element Painting and these other ones, trying to use local sources, and they're going to actually go ahead and paint the building. They're going to clean up the dirt piles out front, and then ultimately sell it. I mean, the bank doesn't want to own it, and it's pretty. I had not been in it, but it's been stripped. I mean, it's basically you go to the breaker box, and you know, foot out of the breaker box, all the wires are cut, and the hood's gone. There's no hood. There's a fan on the roof, but the thing that would go over, it's gone. So it's a stripped out. It's a pretty stripped out building. Wow. But for us, in our codes, is the interior. I mean, the exterior. You know, it can look like anything inside. You don't have anything that, you know, pretty much addresses that. But that they are going to clean up, because he said he can't get it sold if it doesn't look good. And that's why he decided they paint it a little bit, just to make it look better. So that one, you know. Today we went down and looked at some sign ordinances. That's another one that's coming in. So we went down and met the barber and things like that, going over signs. And we went and what was the name of what building we go to today and had lunch. And so we're actually, the people, like, we met three business owners today. We went down to the little building down by the post office that has the Hawaiian place. Mm-hmm. So we stopped and talked and met every owner in there. Corey already had when we were doing the business license stuff, and you know, they have more questions, and you know, then when I come along, they seem to mellow out. But we did have a nice, we talked with them all, we sat and had lunch, and the owner of that business came over and talked to us a lot, and then we, you know, hit them all on the way back out, left business cards, and so that's very good public relations, and they, you know, they appreciate that. That building, actually, you mentioned it, that building's got some urban renewal potential. That's that long, skinny one. And when I went in there today, I was picturing that with like some garage doors, and they were, we were talking to the one guy about some of those changes, and you know, parking's going to be an interesting thing there. But I think that building has a, it's actually neat when you get back in there. And so that has, and Elaine mentioned it right at the beginning when she came here, she thought that one was a good one. And it shows you the potential of what urban renewal type things, and you, if you could work with the owner of the building, you know, we just help facilitate that. Not necessarily, you know, going to do it all for them, but you help facilitate that, and that can take a building that's aged and maybe isn't as functional as businesses, probably don't do the dollars they could. With a little investment, you can make that visually do so much more. If you haven't been back in there, it's kind of, is kind of a neat deal. I did not know there was like a sporting goods store in there. You know, I walked in like, what is this? Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, what's it called?
The Purple Pterodactyl.
Yeah, of course, one thing in Lapine, we maybe have a class on names. I mean, the Purple Pterodactyl. Now, if I'm driving somewhere and I heard that, what I think of a sporting goods store, you know, so you put a sign out there, but yeah, I didn't know there was one. Yeah, they had all kinds of, have you been in there? It's amazing.
Well, but that, you know, that's just another example of your city manager being out there in the community, involved, making contacts. This place has been an eyesore forever. You know, it all takes time. And if you don't start somewhere, it's never going to happen. And so that's just another example of this, you know, your city manager being out there making those contacts. So thank you.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're keeping that. And Corey's been building the database. So like, was it today we needed something? He said, oh, I got that in there. So he goes up and he can just click on it, and we could look at pictures. So, you know, we've got 107 businesses. So
115
businesses in the database. So we have the owners, the you know, ownership address, all that stuff. And then we've got pictures attached. And then you can click, and we can go to the county dial system on there, so we can then get the taxes. We get the owner. Is it current? Who is it? And then the pictures as of this last week or whatever it is. So like, I was asking about the sign. We had someone that wanted, had a, came in for a sign permit, and I was wondering what was currently there. And he said, oh, well, I got pictures of it. So went upstairs, clicked on the button, and there were pictures of it. So that's working good. And he started into Kegel. You've done Antler, and
another one, Schedule. Yeah.
Suppose we're going to have to rerun back, probably take a few more, because you can't tell who's living in Camp Traders. There's a lot of people living in Camp Traders, mm-hmm. and that's a big one for the fire department, because they're dangerous, and they are stuck back behind these houses all over. I mean, there's a lot. And so we, I got a call. A lady bought a duplex over on Railroad, and she said, I just bought a duplex. We want to clean it up, and they had cleaned theirs up. She said, you know, what about this mess next door? Well, we had just been out there. We knew about that mess, and then we went out and took more photos of it. And we figured it out by the internet, found the owner of the property based off the dial, but they don't have phone numbers. He was a manager of a business in Southern Oregon, because we could match it all up. And so I called him, left a message, called me back, and it was him. And he owned the property, and he was embarrassed. He says, I'm going to be up to the Lapine in a week, and I'm bringing my dump truck or my truck, and I will clean it all up, and I will evict who I need to evict. And I'm sorry you had to call me. It's embarrassing. So it is amazing. And the problem out on Huntington with the guy starting to put that junk there, I met him out there at 8 o'clock at night. The landowner called, and I was still working. And so I went down there, and we had the whole hee-haw gang there. And the dad, the son, and he was starting to haul junk out. He has about 50 tires on that property, and he's starting to haul them away, and I just told him that we just aren't going to have that here. I mean, those days are over, you know. And he was moving stuff from somewhere else here. And he has a long history with the City of Bend Planning Department, and they have a large file on him. And he's no longer a problem for Bend. So he moved south. But I told him, I told him, keep moving, because this was not a stopping spot. And the neighbor who was on his four-wheeler listening, and he said, I came over just in case you had trouble. And so the neighbor then came down to City Hall the next day and stopped here and said he was so appreciative of the fact that the city would make that kind of effort. So we are making real inroads, yeah. Except for those who are the recipients. And understand that everyone has a friend, a neighbor, or a relative. So, you know, you will hear complaints. It's not all roses because, obviously, you know, they go and grumble. The one gentleman from out south by the Kia came down and called me names to Ashley. You know, that's okay. It's nice stories for us. But that does happen. And that's why I sent Scott out to hand deliver the note. See, stand up, you see Scott coming, yeah. You know. And there's an example, that property, and this is important for Mike and you guys. We went out and we took, it's a building, it's not improved anything. It's not a commercial building, and they're in there making furniture, and they're running sanders and spray painting. The guy comes out, he's got the mask on, you could hear the air compressor and all of that. We took pictures. He came out and saw me. Well, he knew because him and I already had discussions. And so then, wasn't a few hours later.
An hour.
He's down here at City Hall trying to buy a business license. And we never talked to him. He saw me. And I have photos of the dust coming out of this building. And so I called the county and they said, no, he's running a commercial business in basically a dilapidated shed that isn't any code, nothing. I mean, it doesn't even have electricity to it. And he's running generators and doing all this, you know. So we're up.
And two or three occupied RVs on the property.
And two or three RVs. You couldn't drive into this property. I mean, you'd have to park and you know, run a fire hose. It would be a long lay because you can't get into these. They've got these. It runs from Highway 97 back to Drafter, the full, and it's where it's wide. There's two lots, depth, and you can't get past the junk right off Drafter, and you can't get past the driveway on this side. And all the stuff in the RVs are in the middle. And so we sent out two certified letters to them, and he delivered one. I don't know where the other one went, because they're two different. They're the same family, it's a trust. But that's kind of what we do. And every week I try to work on one or two. And then if you get some that slow you down, you got to kind of wait, you know. So, and I think that everyone is very supportive of it. At least you are.
I think we all are.
Yeah.
Okay. Council? Council comments?
I just wanted to say how proud I am to be a part of this council making this decision tonight to go forward with Urban Renewal District. Rick, I want to thank you for all the endless work you did on getting us organized. Elaine, all the work that you've done to get us going. And I'm excited for the future. I remember when I first moved to Central Oregon, I was thinking today how we'd drive south and we'd see Lapine and we'd just like look at it, we would never live in this town. I mean, it was, everything was just everywhere. It seemed like a total mess, and years went by, and we got through, and you know, looked around and go, this place is starting to look pretty nice. But in the last 10 years, I wouldn't know it from 25 years ago with what I see today. And this community is growing in leaps and bounds in that respect. Because when I first moved to Bend, Lapine was the butt of every joke, and it was embarrassing to think that that's where we've come from, you know. and it's exciting to see what where we're headed. So.
Anything, Karen?
I think we're moving right along. I think that down the road we're going to be really happy with the decision that we made tonight. I feel really good about the decision we made tonight. I don't think we can grow without it. So I feel good.
Okay.
No, basically the same. I look forward to moving ahead, and I hope we can just all be a part of supporting this in the process of moving on to a better thing, I think.
Anything, Stu?
Nope, I've already said what I had to say. I just want to go take my tie off.
We'll get right to that. Let me see, I have a couple of notes here.
We do have to go to the county. They still have to approve the little piece that's outside for original.
Oh.
I mean, if they
right.
Do,
on August,
it has,
August
it has
4th.
No, it has no impact.
Yeah. The only thing I've got to say is about a new business in town. And maybe you've already been there. But Casita de Pasta is opening tomorrow. They're actually open right now serving. And if anybody wants to go, they said, come on down. So there's new employees.
Where is it at?
It's the old Cindy's Kitchen right on the other side of the gas station right here.
He has his business license.
Yes.
And he got a sign permit.
Yeah.
He got a sign permit. Business license.
Did all the right things.
Restaurant inspection from the county.
Yeah. And we've got how many business licenses now?
I think it's process number 76.
And we've got Mike turns them around quick.
He's super quick.
They come into us. We then scan them, send them to Mike. Mike gets them back to us with a kind of a two-page checkoff list. And then it goes to Scott, or Scott looks at it. But we have caught some people that hadn't been, you can give some examples. I mean, it's already worked.
Yeah, I bug Ashley real bad, but make her get in the computer and check and see if they're signed up for backflow testing. And we found a couple that weren't. The restaurants that have a grease trap, we send them a new form that authorizes us to pump their grease trap. If they have somebody else that does it, that we want their contract so we can see that it's been done. So it's kind of taking care of a cross-connection program and a fat oil and grease in the sewer system program all at the same time.
Good.
So yeah, we're actually doing pretty well with them. You know, we're probably more locally, we haven't yet got into kind of the out-of-towners who don't have a storefront so much, that'll come. But like I had a guy who was bidding the landscape to do the maintenance out here. And I'm talking to him on the phone, and I said, well, you will need to buy a business license to work in the pine. Oh.
put it in the bid.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. We just upped the bid by 45 bucks.
Put it in the bid. Council, any further discussion? Any comments?
No.
Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I shall move.
Then move. Second. Seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Adjourn.
Yeah, this is the same guy.